from the retail perspective, are there things that can be done to make a customer feel safer from a shopping perspective?
For the retail environment, I think cleanliness is going to be a big one. And really, I think it's a matter of making sure that your app platform and your in-store experience, that customer experience, synonymous. There's nothing more frustrating than having one experience on one platform and then it not being consistent on the other platform.
Welcome into the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stotz. One of my favorite things about Gori, a recent addition to the Nationwide Marketing Group vendor roster, is just how similar they are as a business, as a company. I know they are a vendor, not an independent retailer per se, but the business itself is Gori, 130 years old, multi-generation owned, and a business that has had to adapt and evolve over time. And they've faced a lot of the same challenges that independent retailers have, and they work closely with independent retailers to, help them build out retail activations and help brands to better tell their stories at a retail setting. And, it's so cool to get the opportunity to talk to them and see how, that experience sort of translates into the work that they do on a daily basis for retailers. So we took the opportunity, obviously a lot over the past year has forced retailers to adapt and evolve, and we wanted to catch up with Gori and chat with them about some of the trends that they're following in the space. What retailers are going to have to do, to make customers feel more comfortable shopping at their stores, what opportunities exist for, them to improve their in-store experience, and what this whole COVID thing has done to retail, and get their perspective on things and just chat about it all and see what they have. They're the experts. Let them do the talking and help us shed some light on some of the changes that will outlive this pandemic and help retailers to get ready to adjust to those new lives as we return to not having to worry about going to shop in stores. So Ashley Gori, CEO at Gori, was very excited to finally get her on the podcast, and she had a lot to say, a lot of great insights, and looking forward to sharing it with you. So let's dive into this Independent Thinking Podcast with Ashley Gori of Gori. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and really excited right now. It's been a long time coming. I've been trying to get in touch with Miss Ashley Gori of Gori up there, and I know you're north of the border. I don't know if the connections are different when you try to get to a Canadian and an American to talk, but finally we're here, and I'm happy to have you on. So, Ashley, appreciate you taking the time and calling in from up there in the middle of a snowstorm.
Thanks so much, Rob. Yeah, no, good neighbors we are. Not a bad connection.
No, not one bit. I know you guys have the reputation of being very friendly up there north of the border, Canadians. So I expect nothing but kindness.
Nothing but kindness, and I might say sorry a lot.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, no, that's awesome. Well, like I said, thank you for taking the time, and I know we have some really cool stuff we want to dive into, and you've been making the podcast circuit, so I had a chance to kind of pre-listen to another episode with you, and not that I'm going to steal questions, but I love the direction of that, and so you're a pro at this at this point, so I look forward to diving into some really cool topics with you, and I want to start, Gori, I think, you guys made your primetime debut in Houston in February, is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Right before the pandemic locked everything down. But it was a great experience. What an amazing group of membership and the team at Nationwide. I had just an excellent experience and just thank the world of the association and the members.
Yeah. So, well, glad that you got to at least that one face-to-face before we all got shut down. But, for the members that weren't in Houston or that didn't get a chance to kind of swing by and see what you guys were doing with the area there, just give kind of a brief overview on Gori and what it is, the services that you provide.
Yeah, sure. So Gori is a retail activation company. We help brands and retailers bring their environments to life for the customer at the point of commerce. And I started in a conversation with Derek about the tiny home and how do we tell this really integrated Internet of Things or connected home story where we're able to demonstrate how products can integrate in an environment that looks like something that you might live in, and not a lot of stores necessarily have that look and feel. So we had a booth set up to show just what it took to bring all of those components and all of those products together.
That's awesome. And I know the cool thing about Gorrie is that, you know, you guys have a very sort of similar history and feel to you as a company as a lot of our independent retailers. I mean, you're family owned, I think 130 years. Is that right? The history of Gorrie?
135, I think.
Wow. That's crazy. So it's been around for a bit, you know, not in 21st century being the third century you're active in, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, it's cool to see that, you know, there's in the vendor community, someone that can relate a lot, I think, to independent retailers and kind of what our members have to sort of exist in, how they exist and what they go through on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. I love the independent category. Actually, I've spent much of my career working with the independent category in other areas. And there's a real heart there. And the multi-generational piece, it's not easy. I mean, family businesses are not for the faint of heart. Entrepreneurism is not for the faint of heart. And you combine those two and it's a wicked combination. But no, I think, you know, learning about the industry from family brings a whole new layer of depth and understanding of what it takes to get there, not only as an entrepreneur, but to see the passion and the understanding of product. So I really relate actually to a number of your members, certainly transitioning from generation to generation. Also, you know, to put your own stamp on it and to put your own perspective as to what the industry or customers want to see from you. While layering in that history is really, it's a challenge, but it's a beautiful thing when you see it come to reality.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of touched on it there, but do you think, you know, having that sort of the family owned vibe to your own business, does that help you relate to, you know, what we're talking specifically nationwide, but other independent businesses that you get to engage with?
Yeah. So history repeats itself. You know, like I hope the pandemic doesn't repeat itself, but history does repeat itself. And you know, there's a lot of learning that we can take from the past and you know, what communities, what governments, what businesses have gone through. And I think if we take those learnings and we apply them to how we run and lead our organizations or our teams or, you know, what products we decide to align with, I think that really can define the organization or define the company. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, that, I think it does pretty well. And, you know, it's just, you know, having that, the idea that you can kind of, you do face, I know you assist retail in sort of the way they activate in their stores and things like that. So there is a lot of alignment there, but even just from the standpoint of, you know, how you run your business and how you, like you said, you hand it off from generation to generation and try to put your own stamp. You know, that's something I know a lot of these guys face on a daily basis. So I think, you know, there's a lot of similarities that are kind of cool to see, you know, as relationships with Gorrie and our members, sort of build out. And I mean, I can tell you, I actually did get the chance recently to talk to another member of ours, Greer's Home Furnishings, who had the exact location. We had him on the podcast a couple months ago. They're down in Tennessee and they're 130 years. Similar location. They're located on the same street. So maybe should hook you guys up and talk about, you know, what it's like to be that old of a company. Be pretty cool. But, you know, for you now, you know, as head of Gorrie, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face, you know, running a company that's, you know, 130 plus years old?
I think constantly telling your story, creating a story that is going to be relevant to your customers and so that they not only feel the alignment or feel the passion for what it is that you do. And I think this applies to any company, but to be able to tell a future story, to really understand, I mean, you know, start with data, understand what your customers want, but then make sure you're really crafting a story that is you know, has the future folded into it. I think that we really need inspiration today, but we need inspiration with purpose. And so that's for me where we're going. I think COVID has taught us an incredible amount of lessons. about our world, about the climate, about, you know, the sustainable business practices, you know, social, political. So I think there's quite a lot right now where leaders can be leading, you know, with purpose, but that we have to keep the positive and we have to lead with inspiration as well. So those are the two things, two words that I've been using for leading in the future.
Yeah, no, they make a lot of sense. And I know another one you can kind of tie in there too, sort of way to transition and segue is, you know, evolution and adapting. And, you know, I know you've talked a lot about that recently, and I mentioned the other podcast circuit you've been on. It's that's something that's come up a lot. And I mean, this pandemic has pushed a lot of leaders. I say a lot, you could probably say every leader and it wouldn't be wrong, to, you know, some unbelievable limits. And, you know, as you've kind of evaluated what the retail space has gone through, I mean, what are some of the more important impacts that you think this pandemic has had, you know, on the industry, and things that, you know, will sort of live beyond it as retail has evolved? What are some of the things that you see have had an impact that will sort of outlast this pandemic?
Yeah, a great question. And one that we at Gori have been doing a lot of thought around, you know, thought leadership around the future. Nobody has a crystal ball, but as I said, you know, you got to start with data. You got to start with the facts. You got to listen to what customers are going through and where their comfort levels are, and then start to craft what that's going to look like going forward. The biggest challenge I see for retailers is that their physical spaces need to be a combination of virtual and virtual, digital, and that they have to come off of the shop floor. We really need to double down on, you know, web platforms, app platforms, virtual showrooms. It doesn't mean that the store itself is going to go away. And if anything, especially in the appliance and furniture category, people do want to see it. They do want to feel it. It is a big purchase they'll be making. And so, you know, there's this sort of language that's coming out today that's called connected commerce, and that you really have the ability to have the same experience. Yes, omnichannel is also the word, but it's about using digital for convenience and then using physical for experience. If anything, I would say the independent category has some of the best customer service, because, you know, they're living and breathing it every day. They are not, you know, they're not hiring minimum wage to come in and work shifts. These are people who love what they do and they really get to understand the products. So those are the things that I would say. I would really have to figure out how to bring the store into the office, living room, the bedroom of the customer through their screens, through it, be it mobile or through their PCs. And that's not an easy thing to do, because you don't want it to feel, you don't want it to feel purely digital. It has to have an element of that customer on the other side. So those are some of the trends that we're seeing coming out of this, is a virtual showroom and using digital convenience, not using it just to have touch screens in your location.
So this kind of calls back to, you know, my history of being very in tune with consumer tech and something, you know, that I've always been intrigued by virtual reality. Is this an opportunity where, you know, VR could kind of step in and fill a big gap, giving kind of those customers a chance to experience? I know, you know, virtual VR adoption isn't necessarily super great, but I mean, an opportunity for them to kind of experience that showroom, or, you know, even their home sort of adapted with products and furniture and appliances and things like that?
Yes, actually, that's a great question. And one where I do believe that there's a place for it. I think we have to be careful not to use our stores as warehouses anymore. That's what the customer no longer wants to see. If they're going to go to the store, and there's a infamous sort of retail researcher named Doug Stevens who talks about the store being media. And I think when you think about that, you're seeing a giant billboard. You don't necessarily have to have it cluttered like you'd find a warehouse. You want to create it so that you're really walking them through an experience. And that experience might be, you know, when we come out of this, cooking lessons and, you know, an open bar and, you know, so an area where you can, you know, do seminars and more people can educate on interior design. I mean, all of these are elements that people are really craving when you look at hobbies people took away. And interestingly enough, I mean, it doesn't take that long to create a hobby. We've all been locked down at home and been creating some pretty serious hobbies over the last year. And so I think that's where you can really start to use your store as a community. To answer your question about, AR, VR, Macy's has done an in-life environment, which is allowing you to use AR, VR to, superimpose furniture within your space and then to see the product in different colors. So that really does help with the warehouse to digital, right? Because you don't have to have all manner of different products on your store floor. You can create a virtual space that customers can come in and experience, and then with watch or with video and AR VR, experience the same thing.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And those examples I know have kind of been around, and you see some retailers sort of innovating and playing with them. But definitely feels like a time where it could sort of create this mass adoption or familiarity, at least with the customer, that they'd be more comfortable as you're sitting at home, sort of flipping through instead of scrolling through an app looking at products. You actually can put it in your home and see what it looks like and experience it digitally, in a sense. That's awesome. And you mentioned some of the in-store things. It kind of feels like that experiential retail shopping environment was always, it's kind of been talked about, but now, coming through COVID and seeing what it's done to the shopping experience, it's an opportunity like so many other services to kind of like put the gas pedal to the floor in that regard and really look to, increase adoption around that. So those experiential, shopping environments, we've seen that trend sort of pick up over time. Is it something where now, with retailers having gone through this pandemic, you see sort of adoption picking up, or is there a lot of work still to be done as far as convincing retailers that that's the way to go?
I think the language around experiential, I don't know that customers, and I think this is part of the studies that we're going to have to do, but I don't know that customers are going to be 100% ready to, get back into stores due to their comfort levels around COVID and distribution of the vaccines. I will say that, yes, I do believe that element of wanting to be part of something, and whether or not, when we say experiential and it's cooking classes, or as I alluded to before, it's seminars of one thing or another. I think that a lot of environments are going to be used as community centers. And I think that there's an opportunity there for a lot, and also for a lot of the community leaders. As an independent business owner, you do have a great community extension, and so this allows for that to go to the next level, to use your physical real estate as a space to bring more to the community. Whereas I think that the challenge is to wrap your head around the risks associated with making that massive change. It can happen in baby steps. It can happen with your vendor partnerships. A lot of the vendors are also going in this direction where, they want to tell an integrated story. So I think that there's a good way for, the independents with nationwide support and vendors to really start telling that more experiential story.
And you kind of started to talk about it there too. I mean, the investment in sort of what needs to logistically happen in a store to make that sort of more of a viable option for retailers. Is it, does it have to be big steps? Is it like a massive store remake that has to be done? How can a retailer make their store, are there smaller things that a retailer can do to sort of make their store more experiential for a customer coming in?
Absolutely. I think that it doesn't have to be a holistic overnight change. I think that you can do it in baby steps by, creating environments, similar to how Monogram had their shop environments. I think that over time, though, it does need to feel like holistic to the brand. So it can't just feel, it can't feel piecemeal. But there are steps that can be taken, I call it paint and paper, sort of has a little bit more of an uplifted feel to it. And I think some of the integrated technology that we spoke about is where you can play a little bit more with that, so that you're bringing the digital world into your store. You're using that space as consultation, you know, be it House or Pinterest, and allowing for the customer to come in and walk them through it from that perspective.
Gotcha. And something you talked about a little earlier, you know, that certainly rings a bell and is relevant right now is, you know, it's customers becoming comfortable again with the idea of going out and shopping. And obviously it's going to take the distribution of vaccine and things like that, you know, before we see sort of a return to whatever normal looks like. But from the retail perspective, are there things that you're seeing, or is there interest on the retail side, or even just in sort of what you guys are doing to stay up on store layout trends? I mean, is there things that can be done to make a customer feel safer from a shopping perspective when they begin to return to stores?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, cleanliness is one of the largest reasons for a customer feeling comfortable. And so that means having the appropriate, you know, cleaning signage, cleaning mechanisms, hand sanitation. Those steps, although, you know, it might seem like a questionable, like, do I really need to do this? It actually has been proven to sit very high in customers' comfort levels with going into store. Now, that's like a preliminary, you know, check the box in terms of the customers. I think in terms of environments for the retail, we don't yet have enough information of how customers are going to come back. And actually they're starting to show that, you know, they might show comfort in one area, but not in another. So we're doing, and by that I mean, they may be more comfortable with going to, you know, a tailgate party for the Super Bowl, but they don't want to go into a grocery store anymore. Right. So and I know that doesn't specifically answer the question, but for the retail environments, I think cleanliness is going to be a big one for, you know, the first days that we end up going back. And really, I think it's a matter of making sure that your app platform and your in-store experience, that customer experience is synonymous, because there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, having one experience on one platform and then it not being consistent on the other platform. So, and I think that was one thing that really saw an acceleration over this last year, that a lot of companies had not pushed the gas pedal on e-commerce or on app platforms. And with, you know, lockdowns and curbside pickup and everything, like that really, it showed, you know, where, you know, those who made the investment and those hadn't, you know, saw a bit of a gap in the marketplace.
And I know we could definitely, you know, corroborate some of that with our own data nationwide, is just, you know, the number of retailers that had, you know, those services in place, sort of, you know, as shutdowns, businesses were forced to close, you know, they were able to stay open online and have that success. And then just the amount of increased interest and requests for adding those types of capabilities to a website. And, you know, preparedness is something that it sounds silly because you never know when you're going to need these things. But at this point, online isn't something that you don't know when you're going to need it. It's clear this pandemic proved it, if anything, to those that were sort of still iffy on the idea of a website or e-commerce capabilities as an independent business, like, why need it? Now we know. Now we know why. And, you know, it's just, it's at least encouraging to see that there was that, you know, the ability to adapt and add those services quickly. And, you know, for independent retailers that maybe were iffy on it, they real quickly realized that it was something that they should get involved with. And, you know, were very willing to adapt.
That's one thing I love about independent retailers, is that, you know, they can, and this is their real, you know, kryptonite, is that they can move so quickly. They're agile. And you know, they're agile and they've got the passion and they're fighters. And so it's very different. It's sort of, you know, the David and Goliath, where you're able to move so quickly when it takes other larger national brands more time to move the system over. And I think that's just a success factor for most independents, most entrepreneurs.
No, absolutely. And one thing I know, you know, we talked about at the top, but you guys, Gorey, got involved with Nationwide because of the smart home and the tiny home. And I know that was a big push early on in Houston when you were there at Primetime. And cool to see that, you know, that's a specific area that gained a lot of interest this year because of, you know, smart home technology and people living at home and kind of streamlining that process. As we look ahead to sort of the rest of this year and whenever we can get, you know, back in person, what sort of excites you about the opportunities and kind of what you guys are doing there, for Nationwide members?
Yeah, so we want to make it as easy and accessible as possible. And one of the things that you mentioned before was, like, does it have to be wholesale? And so one of the things that we were doing for the Nationwide membership was to create a kit of parts that allowed for a story to be told in a vignette, but that vignette was branded for the independent. And then you were able to interchange the partnerships that you have with the vendors to be able to demonstrate to your customer, you know, you might have a Google platform, you might have an Amazon platform, but how do we show how all of these products, be it, you know, whichever vendor you want to partner with, can integrate. And so that's a platform that we've been working on in order to also decrease the cost, making it really affordable, making it really easy and functional to integrate into your existing environment. So that's what we've been working on over the last little bit, and looking forward to sharing it further with the membership.
Awesome. Well, we got virtual Primetime up around the corner, but hopefully after that, as vaccine gets out there more, and hopefully in August we'll be able to get together in person and finally see another Gorey presentation at Nationwide. So, Ashley, I appreciate you taking the time and hunkering down with us and chatting a little bit about all the things we've seen this past year. And like I said, look forward to catching up with you guys again soon.
Rob, it's been awesome talking to you, and congratulations to all your members for the hard work over the last year. My goodness, it was not for the faint of heart, and it's impressive to see the positive spirit coming out.
Here's to a much better 2021.
Exactly.
All right, and a huge thanks again to Ashley for taking time out of her schedule and chatting with us about all these retail trends and things she's watching and how COVID's impacted the shopping experience. So something we were, like I said, very excited to do, and had some great insights, talking about technology and possibilities of AR and VR sort of mixing in and pushing the space forward. And just cool to see, and interested to continue to follow their work in the space and see how independent retailers can capitalize on it. So, again, appreciate her time. Appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.